We've been in this sermon series called Generous Gifts, where we've been talking about the generosity of God, and we've explored His generosity a lot of different ways through the giving of His Son, the birth of Jesus, which we celebrate this time of year. But we've also talked about this idea that God generously gives us a lot of other things outside of just the birth of Jesus. And today, we're going to dive into the spiritual gifts, and it's not a traditional Christmas type of text, but I think it's very pertinent given the fact that just a few days from now, we're all going to be opening gifts. But before we really dive into this, how many of you have ever been into a situation where you just felt really awkward or left out around Christmas time? Here's an example. This was several years ago. I don't think Barbara and I were married yet. She asked if I would like to accompany her to a family Christmas get-together at her great aunt's house. And you know, when you are not married and you want to try to impress the other person, you say, yeah, sure, I'd love to go. It very quickly became awkward because what we ended up doing was crashing their immediate family Christmas party. And so it was just a really weird time of sitting around watching people exchange gifts, and you didn't have a gift to give or you didn't get a gift, and it just felt really weird. Has anybody ever been in a situation like that? Yeah, some of you said didn't answer the question, so I'm going to put you in a situation. Here, I have some gifts for some special people this morning, but only just a few of you are going to get them. So, Tommy, here you go. Don't open it. You can't open that yet. All right. And I'm going to give one here to Seth. Don't open it, please. I'm going to give it to Judy.
Okay, that's great. Okay.
All right. And I can't leave Jake out. Don't open these gifts. Please don't open these gifts. Yeah. These are Barbara's gifts. No, don't open those gifts, whatever you do, okay? Now, for some of you, that's going to be hard. Tommy, I'm going to have to watch you because I can already tell. I can already tell that you want to open that thing up. Now, I want you to turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. We'll spend the majority of our time today in the first seven verses of chapter 12. And while you're flipping there, I want to give you some background into this text. This was a letter written to the church at Corinth by the Apostle Paul. The Corinthian church was plagued with problems. They had a lot of issues. A lot of issues. Now, we have to cut them a little break with their issues because one thing we have to realize is it's a baby church. It's full of a bunch of baby Christians, all new converts. Most likely none of the converts were any older than 3 years old in Christianity. This is a young church. And we know in mature churches like ours, we have problems, right? So in baby churches, problems should be expected. And this is what's happening. In Corinth, there's issues in this church. And one of the issues that I think is important for us to understand comes from chapters 12, 13, and 14. And why I think we need to look at it in this series about gifts is because it's an issue that we kind of have today in the church, an issue with spiritual gifts. And we know God gives generously, and so it's important for us to understand these things. Here's what's happening in Corinth. The people were prioritizing certain gifts over others, and they weren't using their gifts to edify the church. So it's kind of a twofold problem. They were prioritizing some gifts over others, and some people will tell you they're prioritizing the lesser gifts over the greater gifts, but that's a different discussion. And they weren't using the gifts appropriately to build up the church. So Paul gets this letter from the people at Corinth. They outline all the problems that they're having, and Paul writes back, and systematically, it seems like when you do your research, it seems like he systematically addresses each of the issues that the church is having. So chapters 12, 13, and 14 in Corinthians all address the issue of the spiritual gifts. Now notice this is what Paul says in chapter 12, verse 1. You notice that he's changing topics here because he says, now about the gifts of the Spirit. Brothers and sisters, I do not want you to be uninformed. Now, just this one verse indicates that Paul wants these people to know about the gifts. He says, I don't want you to be uninformed. Some translations say, I don't want you to be ignorant. Because Paul knows that ignorance leads to issues, and issues eventually lead to division. That's the progression that takes place. Ignorance leads to issues, and issues lead to division. Now, if you look at the church today, Christendom in the United States of America, the issue of spiritual gifts is one of the issues that divides the church. I'm just being honest with you today, that it divides the church. And I think that the division is a result of people being uninformed, ignorant, as Paul says, about the gifts. Now, this is a controversial topic for me to talk about today, and I was over here asking God, of all Sundays when we have people that come for, you know, maybe the only time of the year, this is where you have me, this is where you have me at. But I trust that, you know, he has a good reason. So here's the issue that we're going to just address briefly and then move forward. The issue is the argument between continuation and cessation. So I want to explain both of those positions. Continuation, people that say they're continuationists, they say that we are enjoying all of the gifts that are outlined in Scripture today as the church. We have access to all of those gifts. God still gives those gifts. And some of the gifts that come into question that people, you know, really wrestle with is the gift of prophecy, the gift of tongues, the gift of special knowledge, the gift of healing. Those revelatory gifts, continuationists say those gifts are still available to the church. And cessationists say, no, they're not. Like, those gifts were only good for a certain period of time, and then once, they use Paul's words, once the perfect comes, those things will pass away, and they'll argue that that perfect is the complete canon. Okay, so they are the cessationists, which means they believe those revelatory gifts cease to exist. Now, most of you know my history, my background. I grew up in the Pentecostal church, which is known as a charismatic church. They're a continuationist group. They believe that the gifts are, all those gifts are available today. And I struggled with this growing up because, I'll just be honest with you, I saw a lot of the gifts that were displayed in a very poor manner. And so what happened was when I went to seminary, I did a complete pendulum swing and I said, okay, I'm now a cessationist where I believe those gifts don't exist for the church anymore. And some of you are going to be like, oh my gosh, where are we going? Well, I'll have you know that I've been wrestling with this for years now, and I find it very difficult from Scripture to argue that those gifts don't exist for the church today. Romans chapter 11, verse 29, this is what the Apostle Paul wrote, for God's gifts and his call are irrevocable, which means once he gives them, he doesn't take them away. So where's the problem lie? The problem lies in the fact that we oftentimes see these gifts displayed and used poorly, and so we say, oh, well, they can't exist today. Now, all of us would probably readily admit, if you've been attending church for a number of years, you've probably heard bad preaching or bad teaching. You know, give me your hands. Have you heard of bad preaching? Man, some of you are lucky and you haven't. So, you know, when we hear bad preaching, we don't say, oh, well, the gift of teaching must not be any good for today because it's bad, right? But with the other gifts, we're very quick to say, oh, yeah, they can't exist. So I want to take a dive and look at what Paul has to say about gifts. And before we get into these particular gifts, which we're not doing today, we're going to do next week, I think we have to establish a foundation to build on. we have to understand some critical principles about these gifts before we begin to explore the gifts individually. Now, I want you to go to verse number 4 here in Corinthians chapter 12. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but in all of them and in every one, it is the same God at work. Now, here's something that I need you to write down this morning. There are a variety of gifts, but they are unified in purpose. There are a variety of gifts, but they're unified in purpose. Matter of fact, when you read Paul and even Peter's writings about the spiritual gifts, you will find that the concern is that these gifts must be used, though they are different in nature, they must be used to unify the body of Jesus. If you go to Ephesians chapter 4, verses 7 through 13, Paul wrote this to the church at Ephesus, "But to each one of us, grace has been given as Christ apportioned it." Now, here's something you need to know about this word grace and gifts. They're related. Grace is the Greek word charis. Gifts is the Greek word charisma. So it's the same root. It's where we get charismatic church, believes in the gifts. So this is why it says, "When he ascended on high, he took many captives and gave gifts to his people." Now, I want you to skip to verse 11. "So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors and teachers to equip his people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ." And if you were to go to Romans chapter 12, verses 3 through 8, you get Paul again talking to the church at Rome about the gifts, the different gifts, and he uses the illustration of a body. And he said, in the body there are many parts, but they all function together. Whether there's a hand, there's a foot, there's an eye, and all of them are important to the body. Jesus is the head, and the rest of the parts of the body work together to build up the church, to edify, equip. So here's the thing. If gifts are causing division, they are not being used appropriately. So we go back to this whole issue with the church in the United States. There is division in the church of the United States between these gifts, then somebody, somewhere, we're not using them appropriately. That's not what they're supposed to do. Now, I want you to go to back to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7. "Now, to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good." This means to each one, Paul is writing, that means everybody gets a gift. So there's no awkward moments like some of you are feeling now. I wonder why he gave Tommy a gift and didn't give me one. Or Seth, he's his brother. He could have given that at home on, you know, their celebration of Christmas, but now he's got a gift and I don't have one. When it comes to the body of Christ, there's not that moment where you should feel left out like, oh, they got a gift and I didn't. No, Paul makes it clear, to each person, each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given. You, if you have come to faith in Jesus Christ, you have been given at least one spiritual gift. Now, I want you to skip down a few more verses to verse 11. "All of these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and he distributes them to each one." There it is again. Everybody gets one. "Just as he determines." So I want you to write this down. I read this week as I was reading some other people's work. This isn't my words. I can't take credit, but it's really neat. Helps you. It'll help you remember. Gifts are received, not achieved. Write that down. Gifts are received, not achieved. That means God doesn't look at your performance as a Christian and say, oh, I think they need to get that gift. No, the gift God picks through the Holy Spirit, he picks at conversion what gift right there. It's not achieved. It's not maturity based. It's given out of God's graciousness. Just like grace, salvation is freely given. The gifts are freely given, and everybody gets at least one. Now, verse 7 ends with the words, for the common good. So we're going to spend just a couple minutes talking about two things. We're going to talk about the purpose of the gifts and the position from which the gifts must be used. So the purpose of the gifts. For the common good. That gives us a good way to think of the purpose of the gifts. Here's the reality. We live in an egocentric world. So what that means is we are going to open gifts in just a few days from now, most of us. We're going to open gifts, and those gifts are given to us by someone else. And our thought is, wow, this is so great for us. How am I going to use it to benefit me? Right? Some gifts aren't that way. Some gifts are like, you know, trophies. Like, wow, look what I finally got. I'm going to put it on the wall or put it on my shelf of collectibles. I got a gift like that. From Barbara. It's a pocket knife. I've always wanted a really nice case pocket knife, and she got a case pocket knife that says pastor on it, and I put it, now I'm going to probably offend some people, but I put it in my gun cabinet on a shelf where it's displayed. I don't use it. You know, I don't use it. I just look at it. That's the way we are. But the reality is, when it comes to spiritual gifts, we are given these gifts not for ourselves, but for the good of others. So write this down. These are tools for the job, not trophies for the mantle. Tools for the job, not trophies for the mantle. I wanted to show a little video clip this morning, but we're having some internet issues, so kudos to the praise team. They changed everything up at the last minute. They still did good. You're not going to see the video clip, but I'm going to tell you what it was. If you've ever read the Chronicles of Narnia or watched the movie series, when the sons of Adam go into Narnia, you know, they experience the fact, they hear that it's winter. It's always winter in Narnia, but never Christmas. And there's a scene in the movie where Father Christmas comes in on a sleigh and stops, and he gets out his big old toy bag, his gift bag, and he gives each of the kids a gift. And the intent is, he used these gifts. You're going to need these gifts. If you're not familiar with the Chronicles of Narnia, C.S. Lewis was the author. He was once an atheist but became a Christian, and the Chronicles of Narnia have a lot of spiritual significance to him. So these things that we get, these gifts, they're tools for the job, not trophies for the mantle. Now, there's two common themes in all of the text that we've looked at up to this point. And when you throw 1 Peter chapter 4 in there, in all of these texts, there's two common themes that appear together. And one of those themes is the word serve. That word serve pops up in all of them. If you look at 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 5, there are different kinds of service. And remember, Paul's talking about gifts. First he said there's different kinds of gifts, there's different kinds of service, there's different kinds of workings. This word serve is the Greek word diakonos. It's pops up in Acts when they're appointing the deacons, the table waiters, the servers. You remember the issue. There's some widows that aren't being served. They're getting shorted. And so they complain to the apostles. The apostles say, wait a minute, we need to commit ourselves to teaching and praying. In other words, what they're saying is, our spiritual gift isn't serving the tables. Our spiritual gift is teaching. So go find some people with the spiritual gift of serving and put them in charge of the serving. Now here, this is what Paul's writing. There are different kinds of service. If you go to Ephesians 4 again, it's right there in Ephesians 4. In verse 12, it says, to equip his people for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up. And I do want to go over to 1 Peter chapter 4. If you're new and you think, does he always use this many scriptures? Yes, don't worry, I always do. It's always tough. But verse number 10, chapter 4, each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others. This is it. Serving others. Edifying the church, edifying each other, building up the church, encouraging each other. See, there's a lot of different gifts we're going to talk about in the next few weeks, but each one is different, but they work together to serve others. All right, now, Tommy, you can open that gift now. Yeah. You can all open your gifts. Go ahead. Everybody open your gifts. Now you got to show everybody what you got. They're special. They're special gifts. Now, if you have a trouble getting into the package, Matthew helped me wrap these last night. And Matthew sometimes gets a little tape happy.
Take your time, Seth. I'm enjoying the moment.
This is the only gift Seth's going to get from me this year. Yeah. Tommy, you like your gift? You want to trade it?
No.
Do you know what it is?
I think it goes with everything else you probably
have. Oh, you think so?
I don't know what's behind me.
What belongs to me?
Pam's trying to tell Tommy, you're not supposed to do that. It's yours to keep. Here, bring your gift up here. This was actually a gift to me from a parishioner. Pat and I still keep in contact. She's a great lady. She gave me this gift, and I thought as I was preparing this sermon, this is a beautiful way to illustrate the gifts of the Spirit. See, here's one part. You could probably use it for something, right? But it really needs something else. So everybody else that has a gift, bring me your gifts. No, this you're not giving the gifts away to me, but you're not going to get to keep them. Now, Tommy, yeah, yours is probably one of those that, oh, yeah, I could make that work by itself, right? Isn't that an interesting point? Oh, I could make that work by itself. But some of these gifts, right? Oh, yeah, I could make it work by itself. But is that the way that God intended it to be? Because watch this. This is a demonstration of how the spiritual gifts work. Everybody gets a different one. And we might look at them and say, oh, yeah, I can make that one work by itself. But this one, Tommy, you were, oh, I love it. What is it? What does that do? Yeah. But watch, this is what's so fascinating. It's like a little puzzle. And you have to have all the pieces to make it work. Now, isn't that interesting? Now, there's a little compartment in there you could hide something, like a knife, I guess, if you wanted to. Well, this man is really, really pushing it today. Now, some of these you say, oh, yeah, I could make that work by itself. But the point is, whoever manufactured this box, Carver Dan, he had a purpose for it, an intent for all of the pieces to be used together to have one end goal. Now, this is the way the spiritual gifts work in the church. They're all different. And some of them might be able to stand alone for a little bit, but the reality is they're all meant to work together. That's why everybody gets a different one. They're all meant to work together for the specific purpose of building up the church, for encouraging one another. Now, here's the problem. You know, some of you were thinking the whole time, you probably didn't hear a word I said until I said, open those gifts, because it's like, man, I want to know what's in there. I really want to open this. Not a single one of us in 6 days from now, not a single one of us is going to take that gift and be like, wow, this is great. Thank you so much. And take it home wrapped and put it on the shelf wrapped and say, I wonder what's in that thing. Right? I mean, as soon as we get it, I can remember being a kid. We had a pretty large family. And when everybody got together, all the cousins, it'd always be, how are we going to open this gifts this year? Youngest to oldest. Great, because I'm the oldest grandson. You get to watch 11 other people open a gift before they get to yours. I wonder what's in there. Yeah. So here's the problem in the church. Today, we talk about these spiritual gifts, and we want to bicker about whether some of them exist and some of them don't. But really, some of us have one, and it's still in the package with the wrapping on it. We haven't even opened the thing. That's why, you know, in churches, it's common for 80% of the work to be done by 20% of the people, and that's being generous, because people are sitting with a package, a gift that's wrapped up that God has given them, and they think, oh, wow, this is so great. It's all for me, and they're not using it to serve the body of Christ. Now, service is a theme that you can't take away from any topic or any issue. You're talking about the spiritual gifts. You can't take service out of the picture. It's in every one of them. And there's another one that's mentioned alongside service. It's love. Now see, service is the purpose, and the position with which the gifts must be used is the position of love. A position of love. And I'll be honest with you. I'll have to ask forgiveness for my charismatic brothers and sisters, is sometimes this is where the charismatic people get the spiritual gifts wrong. Because from my experience in those circles, you know, I can speak to this because I grew up in it. In those circles, often those gifts aren't used with humility and love. If you go to Corinthians and look at 1 Corinthians chapter 12, 13, and 14, sandwiched in the middle of this whole topic of spiritual gifts, sandwiched right in the middle, is a whole chapter on love. And guess what? It's not at somebody's wedding. 1 Corinthians 13 is not, Paul's not writing this for somebody to use at a wedding ceremony, though we often do. He's writing it in the context of the spiritual gifts, and it's a whole chapter about love. If you look through the other texts that we talk about, love is always there. Now, I want to give you two examples, real life examples from my life, that as I reflected this week and studied, you know, the gift of tongues is obviously one of those, like, oh, what about that? But prophecy is one of those other ones, like, oh, the gift of prophecy, does that really exist today because we have the Bible? I want to give you two examples, I think, in my life where I ran into people that had the gift of prophecy. I was a young boy. I was either 12 or 13. I went to a youth convention in Tennessee. And they did an altar call there, and I went up to the altar call, and we were, you know, just worshiping and praying together. And there's this boy that was obviously a couple years older than me, maybe 2 or 3 years older than me. I didn't know who he was, where he was from. But he looked down at me, and he put his arm around me, and he said these words, and I've never forgotten these words. I'm 36 now. He said, whatever happens in life, don't stop worshiping God the way you are now. And I've never forgotten that. You know, in the valleys of life, and in the times of my life when I wandered away from God, those words were in the back of my mind. No matter what happens in life, never stop worshiping God the way you are now. I think that's prophetic. That's a gift of prophecy. The second example is recent. I have I don't even know if it's a second, a third cousin, fourth cousin from Kentucky. Now, I'm going to tell you, this is that side of the family down there in Kentucky where they are as charismatic as they come, some of them. And it's when I had COVID. She called me and she said, Sean, you know who this is? And I could tell by the sound of her voice. I said, yeah, I know who you are. See, God told me to call you. God told me to call you, and he wants me to tell you something. I said, okay. What's that? She said, he said, everything's going to be okay. And she just said a few words to me, and she said, now I'm going to sing you a song. This lady can sing. And she sang me a song. And in that moment, that is the first time that I actually felt like I'm going to be all right. That's the gift of prophecy. That is the gift of prophecy. But notice, it was done from a position of humility and love. So here's a bad example of prophecy. You walk up to somebody in the church. God told me that your sin is going to split this church up. Yeah, okay, yeah. But that is not done from a position of humility and love, but it happens in the church. Now, I'm going to give you another one, because some of you are like, I'm still not buying all this, Sean, about these spiritual gifts. You know, growing up Pentecostal, I used to watch this guy named Benny Hinn. Anybody heard of Benny Hinn? You know, Benny Hinn would go bankrupt during COVID because he can't blow on people anymore. But this is what Benny Hinn would do. He'd blow on people. And they would, you know, fall out in the spirit, they say. Now, I heard another pastor talk about this. You know, sometimes some of these people, they do some weird things, and they say it's a spiritual gift. Guy's name's Matt Chandler. Now, he's a real conundrum if you think I'm crazy. Matt Chandler is Reformed, and he's a continuationist, so which means it's just that doesn't happen, that combination, very often. He said he was at a service one time, and he grew up Baptist, so he grew up cessationist. These gifts don't exist. And he said he went to a service, and some guy walked on him and said, special anointing, I'm blowing it on you. And he said, oh, wow, you're a weirdo, right? But he said now, looking back, after that experience, my ministry was 3 to 4 times more effective than it ever was before it happened. And we'll look at it like, man, that is so weird. Now look, just because people are doing some strange things and the gifts are being used weird doesn't mean that God's not working through that. So let's land this airplane. Here's some things that I think we need to take away from this, the generosity of God and the gifts that he gives us. We must generously give just as we have generously been given. A proper understanding of the spiritual gifts is rooted in serving the body of Christ, serving each other. And if you're not doing that, if you're not serving someone else, the church, you haven't even unwrapped your gift yet. Now, how do you know that? Because we all receive a gift. Here's the greatest thing about being on Team God. If you're on Team God, there are no bench warmers. No bench warmers. Nobody is in the kingdom of heaven and has to sit out. Everybody's a key player. Here's another point. We should never use our gifts for personal gain or recognition, but we should use our gifts out of our love for God and our love for everybody else. So I want to challenge you. You know, as you go through the trappings of Christmas, I want to challenge you to think of the gifts that you're going to receive, the physical gifts, and how you respond to those. You're gonna unwrap them. And you're going to be happy. Well, you might be happy until somebody else opens something better, and then you say, well, I wish I would have got that instead of this. Right. And we're going to talk about that next week. All right, don't worry. But you're going to unwrap your gifts. Nobody's going to leave them in the package. You're not going to be able to stand it. You're going to dig in there. Now, this is what I want you to do this week. I want you to start to think about how. How can I do that with my spiritual gift? How can I start to unwrap this thing or these things? Now, this was a question Abby asked me last night. Now, Abby's 12. Okay? Abby's 12, and we were having this conversation. We always talk about what I'm going to preach about in the sermons. And I was very just overwhelmed, I think, when I heard her say it. She said, "How do I know what mine is, Dad? How do I know what my gift is?" Now, if a 12-year-old girl can ask that question, some of y'all that have been in the church for years and years and years need to be asking the same thing. What is it? What is it? Because everybody's been given a gift. We're supposed to use it to serve the body of Christ, to build each other up, to encourage each other. And when we do these things, God is working through us. That's the generosity of God. And really, this is, you know, the thing about Christmas is the kickoff event. When the Savior of the world was born in that manger. And we think, wow, this is the greatest gift ever. And the good news is, it is the greatest gift ever, but he keeps giving more and more and more and more. So don't be content. Don't be content with just saying, oh yeah, Jesus is the greatest gift. Because God doesn't want us to be content with that. He wants us to open the other gifts that he's given us. Would you pray with me? God, I am so thankful for Jesus and the gift of the Holy Spirit and the gifts that he lavishly gives each and every one of us. Lord, I pray today that your Spirit would continue to move and work in the hearts and minds of everybody that's present with us today. Father, I trust that this is the area that you led me to speak on today, as weird and unconventional as it may be. And I trust that you're going to use this to begin to bring the church back together. That you're going to use this to begin to unify us as one body with one head, your Son Jesus. Lord, I ask that as we go through this week and as we approach Saturday, that we would be in awe of your generosity. But that we would never use that generosity selfishly, but that we would return it with more generosity. Lord, I pray for many of the people this season that are going to be without, that are experiencing loss, hardship, and difficulty. While for many it's a happy time, for others it's very sorrowful. And God, in their sorrow, the real message of Christmas is the message of peace. That you came to us so that we could have peace with you, and it's only when we experience peace with you that we can be at peace with others and at peace with ourselves. And for those people that are struggling, God, I pray your peace upon them. And I ask that you would continue to challenge us, those that have been given much, that we would be generous and give much in return. And I pray this in your Son, Jesus' name. Amen.